Okay, and we're going to talk about scripture. But if I say in Revelation, the whole time, okay, the whole throughout the rest of the year, if I say in Revelation throughout the rest of the year, and so it's going to be good, but we're also going to be seven churches. But remember, we got back to basics too. So that first Sunday is going to be, again, back to basics, so it's going to be Christmas. We're going to have a whole bunch of
stuff going on. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. You got your Bible? Say amen. Chapter 7, verse 9. Amen. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, meaning they were blessed, they were clean, and they were rejoicing, okay, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we can do nothing on our own, God. We've got to have you every step of the way. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Minister to each and every one of us, God, in the way only you can, Lord, and help us, God, to stand up, Lord, to show up and to show off for you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all the things you say, all the things you do, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Amen. Look at somebody on your way down and say, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, you can be seated. Let's see here. Okay, praise God. I know people are still out having Thanksgiving with their family, and that's okay. We want them to have Thanksgiving with their family. We want them to enjoy themselves and get a chance to fellowship with one another. Amen. So let me tell you this. Let me start with this. So a man in Chicago calls his son in New York the day before Thanksgiving and says, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screams. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the father says. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this. So you call your sister in Dallas and tell her." Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like heck they're divorcing," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." So she calls Chicago immediately and screams at her father, "You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" And hangs up. The old man hangs up his phone and turns to his wife and says, "Okay," he says, "they're coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." Amen, amen, amen. Now we're going to continue with our Revelation study, and I'm just going to move around a little bit over the next month, because we want to do something other than just the seven churches. But we're going to talk about a Thanksgiving that's out of this world. A Thanksgiving that is out of this world. Y'all say that with me. A Thanksgiving that is out of this world. You know, a Thanksgiving has actually deviated from what it used to be. Amen? I mean, in just my lifetime, I've seen such a big change from when I was little until now. Over the past couple of years, actually, if you want to know the truth about it, it used to be Thanksgiving was a great big holiday. It was wonderful. We celebrated all the time. There was stuff on television, all kinds of stuff. And now you hear, okay, don't miss the after Thanksgiving Black Friday sale. All of the focus now is on Black Friday. It's not on Thursday, life-giving Thursday, it's on Black Friday. You know, in 1789, George Washington had said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Now, this is something that textbooks aren't going to tell you, and right now you're not going to hear this. That's the words of George Washington. Amen? But the focus has been reduced from thanking God to parades, sports, and the biggie, Black Friday. You know, used to, on holidays, you didn't have any stores open, and so you better get what you can get while the getting's good. And I remember when I got up Thursday morning, I had a little thing in my text from several stores saying, just in case you didn't get everything, come on and get what you need for your Thanksgiving lunch. And then it says, come after Thanksgiving and come and see some of our sales. Wow. Nothing about thanking God. Nothing about we thank you, God, that you took care of us. So again, parades, sports, Black Friday. But that's here on earth. In heaven, it's a different story. Amen? Things are so much different in heaven than they are here. Let's just read this again. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." That's Revelation 7, 9 and 12. Now, I want us to think about, I want us just to stop for a minute. I'm going to talk about something now. We're talking about Thanksgiving in heaven. Worship is made up of two primary factors. It's made up of adoration, to make big, and worship is made up of two primary factors. It's to adoration to make big and thanksgiving. And in order to have a true godly thanksgiving, we need four things. Number one, we need faith. We need faith knowing that He is able. We need vision, seeing what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. Gratitude or appreciation in God. And then a decision. I'm going to worship God even when I don't understand. Come on now. I'm going to worship God even when I don't understand. So now, watch this now. Again, we're talking about Thanksgiving in heaven and Thanksgiving out of this world. The multitude, or the redeemed, or the angels, from the four living creatures, they all joined in adoration or worship. This worship and praise was sevenfold. Seven in the book of Revelation, throughout the Bible, but especially in Revelation, carries some special power. Amen? So let's just look at this. Look, first, there is seven churches in Revelation. There's seven spirits. There's seven lampstands. There's seven stars. There's seven seals on the scroll. There's seven horns of the Lamb. There's seven eyes of the Lamb. There's seven angels, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven heads of the dragon, seven heads of the beast, seven golden bowls, seven kings. Seven, 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 seven. Satan's number is what? Six, six, six. No matter how hard he tries to be God, he always falls short. But God is seven, seven, seven. Why does God always, why does he have seven, seven, seven? Well, seven is God's number. Why? Because it's the number of completion. It took him 7 days to make the heavens and the earth. 6 days on the seventh day he rested. There were seven feasts that pointed to Jesus Christ. So it's the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. So whenever you see seven, think about this. This is God's number, the number of completion, the number of perfection. So when you see seven, something special is getting ready to happen. Now let's look at the first word before we see the seven special words here in worship to the Lord. The very first word is amen. Amen. Normally we say amen at the end of a prayer. don't we? But here, they say amen at the beginning. So this starts this sevenfold thanksgiving. Amen, along with hallelujah, is two of the most powerful words in any language there is. Amen is the most powerful word in any language. Watch this. When amen is given at the end of a statement, what it means is, so be it. May it be fulfilled. When we get through praying, we say amen, we're saying, so be it. May it be fulfilled. But when we say it at the beginning, we're saying, listen up. Surely, this is the truth. Think about it. What he's saying is, I want y'all to listen carefully. I want y'all to listen good, because what y'all about to hear is very powerful, and it is a very powerful truth. So now, here we go. Here it is, the seven blessings of God. First there is, of course, praise or blessing. You see, God, the giver, deserves our adoration and praise. Why? We do not provide, God does. Magnify Him. You know, I remember one time there was somebody in my family years ago, was talking about everything they had and what they had done and all the things they had were attaining and getting. And I looked over at that person and I said, no, God helped you do this. It's by the power of God. And the person told me, he looked me right dead in the eye and said, no, God had nothing to do with this. I did it. I'm the one that gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm the one that puts in 50 hours and 60 hours a week. I'm the one that travels all over the place. I did it. God had nothing to do with it. And something happened on his job. I felt chills run down my spine. A couple of weeks later, maybe a month later, something happened in their job, and all of a sudden, the insurance changed, and also the way they took out taxes changed. This person went from having everything he wanted to barely scraping it. And I watched him barely scrape it for several months. He even cut to me and said, look, I got a bill coming due, and I really need to pay this. Can you help? And I actually wanted to tell him what happened. I thought you had everything made. You don't need God. You got everything you need. He said, but I didn't. And so the person said, can you help pay this bill? I said, yes, I will. And the person came to me and said, you know what? I really think I messed up a few weeks ago. I said, why'd you mess up? He said, because I said God had nothing to do with my success. I did this. I pulled the hours. I did the work. It was my skill and my labor. I did this, and said, now God has shown me, no, everything I got comes from Him, and everything I got will go back to Him. And you know what? Once he said that, about a week later, he got a job offer making about three times what he was making. Wow. He never had that problem again for as long as I knew him, because he said from that time on, I know, yes, I've got skill, and I know I've got talent, but it's God who gave me the skill and God who gave me the talent. God provides, not me. So here, I'm here to tell you something today. No matter what you see, no matter what you got going on, don't ever forget, it's God that provides. Amen? We need to magnify Him. It's from Him. We sing it. All blessings flow. To Him, all blessings should flow, especially when we think about the blood of Jesus Christ. When Calvary, when Jesus Christ, when His blood was shed, a fountain opened up of grace that we could not have had any other way. We are seated in the heavenlies by Christ. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead and praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Do better than that. God is our giver. God is our giver. He is our source. He is our supply. God is awesome. Yes. Can you imagine the thanksgiving that's going on in heaven right now? Then the next word, glory, which is doxa. Okay? It means, literally means an opinion. Or to estimate. Like a doxology at the end. We've estimated everything that's going on. And at the end we praise God. Well, here it is. You take all things in consideration. And you realize that you need to give God what He deserves. Give God all that belongs to Him. Praise Him for His magnificence. Praise Him for His excellence. Praise Him for His preeminence. Praise Him for His dignity. Praise Him for His grace. Glory be to God forever. Again, go ahead and give him another hand clap of praise. Glory! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. That's right. Macy's had nothing to do with it. Get ready. The next word, wisdom. Sophia. Okay? God possesses all knowledge. He possesses all wisdom. And if you're a smart fellow today, guess what? It came from God. I have to step in here because I can see Eddie right now chomping at the bit. Last week, did y'all smell something kind of different in here today? Okay, warn each other. And go look at anybody and go, this is an ionizer. It's an industrial strength ionizer. We use them at Fountain to get some of the chemicals out of the air so we could breathe. I used this one for Bethany when she was sick and all that necrotic fluid was flowing in the house and smelled like death. I could put this in her room, run it for 30 minutes, and it would be okay for several hours. But it says because it changes the oxygen, it changes the charge of the oxygen, not to get in the room for 30 minutes after you run it. After everybody left out Sunday, I turned it on. Well, I was coming back in here to change my bass strings, and Eddie come with me, and I'm holding it up. I remember seeing me walk in, Eddie says, something burning. I said, nothing's burning, Eddie. It's that ionizer. He says, where's it at? I showed it to him, and you can see the blue charge inside of it. The electrons coming when it was doing the exchange in the oxygen. You can see it. I said, it's right here, Eddie. It's not a fire. And I looked in it and breathed without thinking. And I said, look here, Eddie. So Eddie looks in it, and Eddie really gets a good whiff. And so I set it down, and so Eddie walks right here and goes, and he gets right here and he goes, I said, Eddie, get from the edge there. What is wrong with you? He said, I was okay until I sniffed that. I went, oh, man, yeah, you weren't supposed to sniff that. And I was coming down to get him, and I forgot that I sniffed it too. And when I stepped down, I went. So I said, isn't that something two fairly intelligent adults? Not acting so intelligent. Amen. All the gifts. Look. So knowledge and wisdom is gifts, or gifts to man from God. No human understanding can stand against God's wisdom. Matter of fact, God just doesn't have all wisdom. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. Amen. Supreme intelligence and knowledge belongs only to God. And Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. So again, let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. He's got wisdom. He's got knowledge. Amen. Amen. And then honor. Time. Okay. Honor and time means to esteem over time. Esteem is respect given to the supreme God, maker of heaven and earth, the redeemer of your heart and life. Our Lord and our God paid the price for buying our redemption. He deserves all honor. I thank you, God. Come on. I thank you, God. I honor you, God. I thank you that you did what I could not do. You died in my place. Praise the cold people. Praise him. He died in your place. Praise him. He took the penalty of your sin. Praise him. Praise him. Come on. Praise him. God is awesome. Yes. He is not a king, but the sovereign eternal ruler of all that exists. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All praise, glory, wisdom, honor, and power be to our God. I'm almost through. Power. Dunamis. Now, some people talk about dunamis as dynamite. That's making it very minor. Because dynamite, once you light the fuse, what happens? It goes off and that's it. The proper word for dunamis would be dynamo. Dynamo, the more it turns, the more power it generates. And the more power it generates, how those guys back in the day with those field radios, they would wind it up. Back in the early telephones, they would wind it up. The dynamo would charge the phone. Even now, they got flashlights and radios that you can do it right now in case of an emergency. You've always got power. That's what it's talking about. The more power is generated by God, the more power exists. So I want you to think about something. A small part. Y'all say small part. A small part of God's inherent strength has been revealed to you in creation. Wow. Just a small part of His power, looking at the 7 days of creation. But also still a small part of God's strength in Christ and in the cross. You see, His power has been revealed over sin and death at the tomb. His triumphant power has been revealed in the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. His inherent and dwelling power has been revealed in your life through the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine to have that kind of power? That, you know, Superman. How many have ever read Superman? You know, some of these characters actually have a biblical base to it. You know that Superman is symbolic also of God, of Jesus coming to the earth from another earth, from another planet, and coming here, and He cannot be destroyed in this planet. And the way He keeps His strength is to keep looking at the sun, to get out in the sun. And so it's a very, very powerful, powerful thing. So, but can you imagine all the power Superman has is nothing compared. And that's just fiction to what Jesus Christ has, which is nonfiction. The next word, strength or might. God has an unwavering ability. Ooh, get back up there. God, ooh, get back up. Come on, here we go. One more time. There we are. God has an unwavering ability to exercise His power. His Spirit who lives within us, God's might, the power of the church, sovereign over all that He has made, is solid and inexhaustible. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His strength of His might. We are not strong because of the things we have or what we have done, but because of God in whom we have believed. You see, we got a little out of order. You missed one. Actually, I didn't. I say the best for last. Did you know the word for thanks is grounded in the grace of God that brings forgiveness, reconciliation, exceeding great joy? Some powerful, powerful stuff. Right now, there's a multitude in heaven singing and thanking and praising God for His strength and His power to save. Wow. It never stops. 24/7, God is being praised. We should be praising God all the time and thanking Him for what He does. No one should be thanking Him all the time for what He does. Just imagine, once we get to God, some amazing, amazing things. Amen? So now, okay, what is going on here? Let's just go ahead and move on to the next one. We still got some power. I don't know what's going on, but it's going on. Amen. The greatest form of praise that you can ever have. Well, thank you. The greatest form of praise that you can ever have, Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that will confess His name. Now watch this. What He's saying is, even if I don't feel like it, I need to praise Him. Why? Because He still deserves it, He still desires it, and He still dwells in it. Wow. Praise Him and thank Him. Praise Him and thank Him. And I'm getting ready to close. BJ, get ready to do something. Get ready to play something, not do something. Bring your thanks and praise to God, because He deserves it. Macy's didn't do it. A&P didn't do it. Winn-Dixie didn't do it. The Pilgrims. Close to 160-something people on the Mayflower. It was 100 foot long, 30 foot wide. They didn't even stay on deck. They didn't have nice cabins. There was a storage compartment that was 5 foot high where they stored a sailboat. And all the Pilgrims was in that 5 foot section, 5 foot tall, and they were there for 66 days. They had a companionship, but the companionship kept leaking, so they had to leave the companionship, and they all gathered on the Mayflower. They ran out of fresh food within the first week, and so they were eating hard tack bread, which is something that you honestly could use for skeet shooting. So they ate tack bread. By the time they got to the shores of America, the average man had lost 25% of his body weight in 66 days. After they got to America, almost half died that first year. It got so bad that the ration from what the people had was 5 kernels of corn a day. 5 kernels of corn a day. I mean, you could still eat off the land, but 5 kernels of corn a day. And God sent what they considered an enemy, the Indians, to help them survive. And now they'd been there for a year, even though they had lost so many people, even though that 66-day journey was riddled with death and hunger, they set aside a day to give thanks to God, because that's why they were coming to America. They have freedom of worship. And I can only imagine, if I had been there, I can just hear it. I thought we were coming to seek God, and why is God letting all this stuff happen to us? But instead, they thanked God for His bounty. Everybody please stand. No matter how bad you may think you've got it, no matter how bad it sounds, no matter how bad it seems, God's still in control. God still has the final say. Down here on earth, they were fighting black body cells. While the fighting was going on down here for Black Friday, in heaven, it was a different story. Because in heaven, they weren't fighting over souls. They were saying, amen, blessing, right now, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. God is awesome. God is so, so awesome. We need to thank Him. Thank Him for what He says and what He has done. Because our God is in total 100% control, and I thank Him for it right now in the name of Jesus. No matter how bad your year's been, 2020, I can promise you, everybody's had a rough year. Let's go to praise Him right now. Father, we thank You. We praise Your name. We know that You're in total control and in charge. Help us to stand up and show up. We thank You for that, Lord. Stand up and show up and show off what You can do in our lives. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. It is a sacrifice of praise. We thank You, but we know that when we praise You,
You dwell within man. I don't have to feel you to know you're here. Because you gave that promise when I praise you, you're there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's everybody pray this together. Lord, I thank you that you have me in your hand. And I thank you that you got this world in your hand. And I thank you that no matter how bad things seem, you're still in control. And I thank you, God, that while there's fighting going on down here, there's rejoicing in heaven, and we thank you. Help us to keep our eyes up, not down, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all are looking good. Don't forget, Tuesday night, we're talking about how to stand in these last days. And I know everything's kind of weird the month of the last of November and the first of December and in December because of all the things we're doing with our families. So don't be discouraged if somebody you normally see is not here. And also don't be discouraged if things don't always seem quite the same during December, because remember, there's so much Christmas stuff going on. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them God is good. God is great. And Lord, we appreciate you. Amen. God is awesome. Okay. Brother, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Thank you.